Chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse 10 and go through 12. We're talking about the armor of God on today, but I'm going to just start with a couple of verses and we'll work our way through the passage. When you have it, please say amen. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. All right. And it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I want to come to you on today and I want to talk to you about how the fight is in the spirit. The fight is in the spirit. It's not in the natural. And I think so many times we get confused because we get so bogged down with life and we get so tired each and every day in the natural that we forget that it's in the spirit that we fight. And so here, Paul is the author of Ephesians. For those of us who don't know, he was writing this letter not necessarily to address specific issues in the church with the Ephesians, but more so to to give spiritual resources for them so that they could glorify God, so they could glorify him. And so here in chapter 6, this is the end of the letter, right? And it's as he's leaving them, this is what I need you to do. I need you to stand firm. I need you to understand and know that the fight is in the spirit and that it's not in the natural. And I also need you to know and understand what that armor is that I need you to put on in order to fight this battle. And so as we get back into it and we say, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." David had to encourage himself when he was fighting Goliath. He had to say, "I got this," right? It was a big giant. And so many of us have this big giant that we're fighting against even today, even right now in the moment. Yeah, we're at church to get this word. We're at church to get fed. But when we leave these doors, we've been fighting this battle all week. But I'm here to encourage you to be strong in the Lord. And being strong in the Lord, it's constant. It's consistent. That means I have to, every single day, I have to spend time with God. I have to read my word so that I can be strengthened in the spirit. Right? And then on top of all of that, we have to understand and know that when we're standing, see, he just wants us to stand first. We haven't even put on the armor yet. He said, stand. And I'll get there in just a second. But think about a weak man who can barely stand. Is the armor even going to be effective? Probably not. He's weak. He can't stand up. If he can't stand up, he can't put the armor on. It's too heavy for him. So we have to be very intentional with being strong in the Lord, reading the word each and every day, praying, fasting, doing all the things that we need to do to grow closer to him. And so moving on, put on the full armor of God. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, like, well, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. No. Put on the full armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not in the natural, y'all. And so as I was researching wrestling, I don't know much about wrestling, okay? So I had to Google. So according to Google, wrestling, in order to count as a fall or, you know, a person being pinned to the ground, their shoulder blades, both of their shoulder blades, have to be pinned to the floor, to the mat. You with me, you know. All right. So he has to be pinned to the floor, to the mat. And collegiately, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, they have to be pinned down for 1 second. One second, all right? So, with that being said, that's all the devil is trying to do. He's trying to get you down for 1 second, pin your shoulder blades to the mat for 1 second. 1 second. And so here we are, and we're wrestling. You see, Lucifer, Satan was Lucifer before he became Satan. He was the highest angel. God loved him. He was in charge of all the music and the symbols and all the different things. And he had this amazing reverence with the Lord. But it still wasn't enough for him. And so when he fell, he brought a third of the angels with him. And that's where our principalities come, fallen angels. The powers, fallen angels who carry out control. The rulers of the darkness are the fallen angels that carry out action. And so there's a hierarchy. There's Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked, in spiritual wicked, in wicked places, right? And so we have to make sure that we don't get pinned down. I mean, how many of us are really in a fight? Right now, spiritually, naturally, how many of us are fighting through something right now? I know I am, 100%. But when you think about this wrestling, in order for the opponent to win, he just has to pin you down for 1 second. You think I'm gonna fall to the devil for 1 second that he wants of my life? Absolutely not. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna keep on fighting. I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna go to the Lord. Lord, what do I need to do? I'm gonna talk to him. See, in the spirit, we can't afford to get pinned down, y'all. There's a bigger fight than what you're going through right now. And it's all in the spirit. Pastor Taylor was talking about demons on Wednesday, and he was talking about in Revelation how there's this abyss, this deep place, the bottomless pit, where some of these demons reside right now. I don't want to know nothing about them demons right there. I don't want to know nothing. But in case they try to come, I bet you I'm going to be ready with the word of God, right? And so we got to make sure that we know and understand that regardless of our fight, I don't know what you're going through. You might have a health issue that you're trying to get rid of, that you're trying to, you know, push yourself through and persevere through. That might be you. Or you may be having some marital problems. Your marriage is on the verge of divorce. And you guys just can't get it together. Just remember that it's spiritual. Or like me, at work, I feel like it's a fight every single day. Literally. Literally. I work with kids, middle school, okay? Point said, that's it. It is a fight. But God has reminded me that yes, it's a challenge. And yes, it's uncomfortable. But I'm calling you to bigger and greater because there's a bigger fight that is coming that's trying to knock you down so that you can't get to where God wants you to be. It's bigger than us. The first fight that I fought in my life, my mother can attest to this. She was pregnant with me at age 36. Sorry, Mom. She's beautiful and amazing and looks great. And she was struggling. She had kidney disease. The doctor said either she would die, I would die, or we both die. Victory. Amen. She's here. I'm here. The fight is in the spirit. Simple. And so we have to get to this point. We're going to go into verse 13 here in a second, but get to this point to where we stand no matter what. We're rooted in Christ. And that's the first step. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." What I love here is that Paul began with victory. He began with victory in standing. We haven't even put the armor on, but we're already victorious. We're already victorious. But why? Because Jesus was sit down here through Mary, a virgin, to live 33 years of life, to go die on the cross, and raise from the dead 3 days later. That's why we're victorious before the fight even begins. It's already done. I could stop right here and be done, but there's more. Paul is encouraging us to stand and to not even give an inch to the devil. Not even an inch. You want to make sure that you don't give him just not even a crack to slither through. Because if you give him that crack, he'll try to take the whole ruler. And so we have to stand, y'all. And I think of soldiers being on the front line, side by side with their equipment, not moving an inch. Standing strong, standing firm, looking the devil right in the eye. Like, we ready. Right? And so we have to make sure that we are taking that time to remember what he did on the cross. And that's why we stand. We're going to talk a lot about the cross because nobody's preaching the cross anymore. We're going to talk a lot about the cross because this whole, every single verse in this particular passage points to the cross. The whole Bible points to the cross. But somehow we create these motivational speeches that encourage us to keep going and persevere and all these things, which is great. That's great. But we have to also remember that there's a reason why we're able to do that in the first place, and that's because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. He wasn't just no ordinary man that some religions want to believe. He wasn't an ordinary man. He was special. He was different. He was sinless. And so every single thing, every word that we speak, every word that we read here in this Bible points back to the cross. And so we have a call and a mission, right? And the devil, he thinks he can stop it. He probably actually knows that he's defeated. He does know that he's defeated. But we forget. We get spiritual amnesia, and every single day we wake up and we like, man, like, dang, I want to go to this job. Like, man, I want to deal with these kids today. And that's real. My principal is here to attest. It's real. And so I want us to make sure that we know that in the fight, God reminds me every single day, like, Tierra, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep going. You got to keep modifying what you're doing and make it work for you. I'm with you. He reminds us that he's with us every step of the way, y'all. We're not by ourselves. So when we walk in alignment with him, we're walking in step with him. Hey, Tierra, go this way. Okay, say this. Like, he will give you every little small direction if we allow him to. We have to be open to allowing to hear what he's trying to tell us. And so, again, we are going to be attacked. It's inevitable. It's going to happen every single day because he's trying to wear you out. He's trying to wear me out. He wants us, the body of Christ has to be tired so they don't go on. The body of Christ has to continue to sin so they can come down and live life with me. I'm not going to hell for nobody. I say that all the time. I'm not going to hell for nobody. So whatever sin I need to deal with within myself, Lord, let's have a one-on-one right now so we can get it right. Tell me what I need to do. And so we can't have one thought of retreat. The devil is scared of you. He's scared. Because if you get to where God wants you to be, you're going to bring a whole slew of people with you to Jesus Christ. And he ain't trying to have all that. And so he wants our inheritance. He wants our spiritual blessings. He wants our financial blessings. He wants us to fail. But he has so beautifully forgotten who we are and who we belong to. Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So here we get into the actual armor. Stand therefore. We're still standing. We're still standing. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The loins girt about with truth is a belt. The belt holds up our undergarments. The first thing we got to put on. It protects our abdomen. Sorry. And so when we have this on, we're ready for battle. When a soldier, see, when Paul was writing this, he was imprisonment from the Roman soldiers. So when they take off their belt, they're tired, they relaxing. But once they put that belt on, they're ready for battle. We're getting ready for battle. So we have to have the loins girt about with truth. But what is the truth? We're going back to the cross. The truth is Jesus Christ. We must know and understand that we must truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. And so, I mean, when you wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. That's what it has to be embedded in your hearts. It has to be embedded in your mind and in our souls and in our spirit. That every single day, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. But not only did you die, but you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, that you were resurrected. Thank you that you were willing to go to the cross. Because there was a time where he said, take this cup from me, God. Father, take this cup. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I can't do this. But immediately he said, not my will, but yours. Immediately. So yeah, we have those thoughts of retreat. We have those thoughts of giving up. We have those thoughts of, man, I don't think I can make it. I don't know if I can finish. But God said, yes, you can. And yes, you will. Because I've already won it at the cross. You're already a victor. We're not victims, we're victors. And so then we have the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness is alone found in the finished work of Christ. He satisfied sin debt and the curse of the broken law. And because he was sinless and perfect and pure, he is deemed righteous. That's what we have right here on our chest. That's what we carry on our chest, is the purification of a sinless man who died for us. Righteousness. That protects our hearts and our souls. If I don't wake up every day and put on the breastplate of righteousness, I'm exposed to everything. Everything. Anything that comes my way, I'm getting hit. And that's what wears us out. And so I'm guilty. I ain't gonna lie. I've done that recently. Gotten up, went to work, not covered. And I feel the agony. I feel the spiritual war. I feel the pain that these kids feel. And I'm tired because I can't fight it. But I can't fight it because I wasn't armored. So same thing for all of you, all of us, we're in this together. If we don't put on the full armor of God, we suffer for it in the natural. But most importantly, we suffer for it in the spiritual realm as well. Our spirits hurt. But to go on, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace can only occur and be maintained if we are sure of the ground. There is such thing as another gospel. We know that, right? No. False teachings, right? Religions that don't acknowledge Christ. If I walk around praising crystals, because crystals are in the Bible, I had a friend call me the other day and tell me, well, yeah, well, she believes in God, but, you know, she also believes that crystals are in the Bible. Okay, well, yes, they're in the Bible, but we don't worship them. We don't lift them up and praise them. So if I'm walking, if I have the gospel of peace, the real gospel of peace, I'm on a firm foundation. I have the right shoes on. But I can't have the wrong shoes on. It's faulty. I've been a minister for 11 years now. And every person I ministered to that maybe didn't believe in God, there was no peace. They couldn't find the peace. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for peace. I'm like, well, baby, if you come to the Bible, you talk to Jesus, he's going to give you peace. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's a requirement. Peace. And so we have to make sure that we put on the gospel of peace on our shoes. Everywhere that we go, you know that when you go places, those of us who are saved, there's something about that person, something about them. They just walk with peace. You ever been in a situation and you had so much peace? It was a hurtful situation, but you had peace. I used to be like that a lot. And people would be like, dear, why? Like, how can you still have peace and smile every day when you're going through all this stuff? I was like, man, it's God. It ain't me. It's him. And so that's how we have to walk every day. That's how we have to allow ourselves to be, because there's somebody else watching us as well, right? And so how we live our lives, our lifestyle, living it after Christ, becomes contagious, because then somebody else wants some of that. And then another person wants some of that. And then now I'm ministering. And I'm saying, well, this is what you got to do. Read this word. Get in a book. Pray. Build this relationship with God and allow it to be strengthened so that you can stand in the Lord. And when these fights do come, you're able to stand and not move. We're supposed to be immovable, rooted in the ground for Christ. Nothing sways us from left to right, but we stand firm. Then we go on to, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, the devil is not, he's not hindered from throwing fiery darts. He's actually allowed to do it. He just has limits. Remember, he had to ask for permission to go mess with Job. He got to ask for permission to go mess with Tiara too. And so whatever God says he can do, he going to do it. And so I know where the devil attacks me at. And I'll be like, dang, here we go again. But I haven't learned in that area yet. My dad has been praying for me to have patience and long suffering, and that is not the fruit of the Spirit that I really want right now. But God has brought that even through my husband to the forefront that I need to be long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience, and that's okay. And so in that, we have to know and understand that with the fiery darts, that the shield of faith is not like this circular, you know, shield that we think it is. It was actually a full body. It protected the whole entire body back then. The Roman soldiers and what they had, it was a full body shield. So it wasn't like Captain America where he was flipping around doing all that extra. It was a rectangular, you know, shield that covered the entire body. Shield of faith. But what is our faith in? Our faith is not in our works and what we do for God. Our faith is in who he is and what he did on the cross. Okay? So that's what we have to continue to understand and remember. And then we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the God, or the word of God. So the helmet of salvation, if we don't have that on to protect our mind and our thoughts, Pastor just talked about this morning. He talked about making sure that our minds are protected, because it starts with a thought. And then whatever we do with that thought, sin, all of that stuff, it starts here. It gets in our hearts, and then we act. So we have to put on the helmet of salvation every single day to protect ourselves, to cover ourselves. And we have to think on things of God. Philippians 4 and 8. Think of things that are true. Everything that's set on the Lord, we think about those things. And last but certainly not least, the word of the Spirit. It is the greatest weapon that we have. It's the only weapon that all we have to do is say a word. Jesus. When I was searching for my calling 10 years ago, I am telling you, I was fasting and praying. Lord, what is it? What is it that you want me to do? My pastor at the time was trying to set me up, and he was trying to put me in a place where I could walk in it. He knew before I did, I promise. But what happened is, as I was, you know, searching for my purpose, I was getting attacked by the devil. He didn't want me to figure out what it was that I was supposed to do. So he attacked me spiritually. And I remember I was asleep in my bed, and I couldn't get up. But don't you know, I thought the name Jesus. I didn't even say Jesus. I thought it, and it released. So every knee will bow. Every demon will bow when Jesus comes back. If you say the name Jesus, he has to flee. You submit to God and you call on the name of Jesus and he has to flee. He must flee. There's not a choice. He has to. And so we've got to know and understand again that the word of the Spirit is all that we have. When we're covered and protected, these are defense. So the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, all of that, it's a defense mechanism to protect us. The offensive part is the word of God. So yeah, we're standing and now we're fully armored, but all we have to do is speak. So you speak against the devil attacking your marriage. You speak against the stuff at work in the name of Jesus, in his name, and things have to change. They have to transform. And it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week, but you keep showing up. You keep persevering. You keep doing what you're supposed to do, and God will change it. Paul killed Christians before he became a Christian. He killed them. So if he can change, and it can happen for him, it can happen for any one of us. And so, verse 18, as I get ready to close, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Everything has to be seasoned with prayer. Everything points back to the cross. When we talk about watching, we have to be sleepless and we have to be awake and alert in the Spirit. We can't sleep right now. We can't be tired right now. We got to get ready for this fight. So we also pray and battle for our soldiers, our fellow soldiers on the right and left of us. We pray for them. We lift each other up as the body should do. And so if we do what the Holy Spirit instructs us to do, we will be victorious because it's a command to put on the whole armor of God. And remember that we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And more importantly, Colossians 2:14 through 15, I just want to read that out loud. This is speaking of the towards the Lord in reverence of the Lord. And it reads, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Everything that was written against us was nailed to the cross when he died. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them. The fight is in the Spirit, y'all, but we have the victory. It's over. It's already done. But all we have to do is stand and put on the full armor of God each and every day. It's a daily walk. It's a moment by moment walk. And you have to be so intentional with who you are in Christ and read this word and have the word fill you up, because we won't be able to have Bibles soon and in the future. Sister Angela already talked about how there are people who can't praise God openly the way that we can in other countries. So take advantage of it. That's all we're going to do anyway when we get to heaven is worship. So we might as well practice now. Amen. Amen. So I leave you with this. The fight is in the Spirit, y'all. And we have work to do, and there's a bigger fight that's coming. And the devil is not going to stop until he destructs and destroys you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose. But what are we going to do? The ones who have the Lord, who have Christ inside of us. All we got to know is that we know how to use our weapons. And we know that all we have to do is stand in him, remembering that it's only because he went and died on the cross. Blood running down his body, impaled to the cross, not even nailed, impaled to the cross. A crown infused into his head. And at some point, his head hung. But 3 days later, they went to the tomb and he wasn't there. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that's inside of us. That's the breath that we breathe each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, God, we thank you, Lord, for this word. God, we ask that you would just come into our hearts on today, Lord God. And that you would allow this word to be planted, nurtured, or watered, God, wherever each and every one of us are. And we pray that it would grow, that it would become bigger, and that we would share this with somebody else, that the fruit that we exude, that we would hand it over to someone else, oh God. And that we would remember that the fight is in the spirit, and that each and every day we would wake up and we would remember what you did on the cross for us and how you rose from the dead. We are thankful for you, God. And we thank you that you sit on the throne. God, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I can just go fight. I can go fight. I'm ready to get in the ring right now. We want to thank Minister Tierra for that word. She did a fabulous job. And there are just a few announcements. If you haven't already given, there are many ways to give. Please continue to sow into this ministry as they sow into you. And also, we want to thank everybody for coming out. Everybody that joined us online, we appreciate you coming to hear the true gospel of the word. And also, there is a movie night on September 27th at 7 p.m. And if you would like to join and help and volunteer to like assist in anything, the sign-up sheets are outside. And we're going to have a quick word of prayer and dismiss. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the beauty of the anointing in this sister who came down here and poured out your word, your spirit into your people. God, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but you give us the ability to wrestle against everything that comes against us every single day. It is in you that we have strength. It is you that we have breath and life, and we are living and we are able to walk this walk. And let us not forget, it's what you did on the cross that provides us our joy, our salvation, our deliverance. And there is nothing the enemy can do to get us pinned down for 1 second, God, because we will not give him an inch. We will not give him an entry into our hearts and into our mind, because you have all the power, God, and we surrender to your will and your way every day. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for this day, God, and every day. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep your people. Give them peace. Amen. You are dismissed.